You may recall that at my first press conference 2 weeks ago, I said that there were signs of the growing confidence of the community in our government to bring about an era of stability to this troubled country. Events of the past week have shown that this is indeed the case. The people of the country have come forward in their thousands, and I must point out voluntarily, to invest in their government's voluntary savings scheme. As my Minister of Finance will tell you later, the response in these first days have been so great that there is no doubt that the original limit of $1.5 million will be subscribed long before the 6 weeks allocated for achieving this. This is a splendid and significant achievement, and one of which all Guyanese must feel justly proud. Mr. Degar.
Well, I've been greatly heartened by the goodwill and enthusiasm with which the saving certificate scheme has been greeted. In a very real sense, it was an act of faith, as I knew only too well that previous government loans had received no support whatever from the public. I also knew that the present time is a difficult one. We've had 3 years of disorders and rising unemployment, and public confidence was until very recently at a low ebb. It is therefore all the more surprising how many people have come forward and have been willing to stake their savings in this scheme. We've done, in fact, a great deal better than Trinidad did with a similar scheme in 1962. And although Trinidad has more capital and population than Guyana, in Trinidad it took nearly 3 months, from August 27th to November the 14th, to reach $1 million. And I estimate, if you take into account unprocessed applications, that we will have reached $750,000 in the first week. This is a scheme in which each and every one of us, no matter how small our earnings may be, can play a part in assisting with the recovery of the country. And this scheme demonstrates two things. First, the confidence this government has in the people of Guyana, and secondly, the confidence the people have in this government. And surely mutual confidence is the best foundation upon which to build prosperity.
Shortly after my appointment as Premier, I received an invitation from the Venezuelan government, communicated by the Venezuelan Consul General and a member of the Venezuela Chamber of Deputies, to pay a short goodwill visit to Venezuela. From my visit, I was able to draw the following conclusions. One, that there is utmost sympathy and friendship on the part of the Venezuelan government for the government and people of Guyana. Two, that the Venezuelan government is very anxious that there should be mutual cooperation between our two countries. Three, that the Venezuelan government and leading members of the community whom I met are anxious for increased two-way trade to be developed between our countries. Four, that the Venezuelan government is anxious to make available technical assistance and scholarships in various fields to Guyana. In this connection, they confirmed an earlier offer of a chair in Spanish at the University of Guyana specifically, as well as postgraduate courses for Guyanese doctors and courses for Guyanese in technical fields like engineering. Five, Venezuela's unequivocal, unconditional, and unapologetic support for Guyana's accession to independence, given by the president and members of his government. Although my visit to Britain was mainly for the purpose of attending the funeral of the late Sir Winston Churchill, there were many other unexpected developments which have made it, in my opinion, a success beyond my greatest hopes.
I would like to mention this, sir, that you, as Prime Minister, in your visit abroad, you adopted a line and attitude which, if I may say so for the benefit of the public of Guyana, won praise and respect and reflected creditably on the stature of our country. You said Guyana was no cap in the hand beggar seeking aid. what you were seeking was trade, and that the country of Guyana was willing to pay for that which Guyana will receive. You reasoned, and indeed your reasoned and realistic invitation to investors to come to Guyana projected a new and welcome image. Indeed, sir, as Prime Minister, you received an invitation from the London Chamber of Commerce to return in the spring and to address members of the chamber. Indeed, sir, you've also been invited, and I think that Guyanese should know this, to address a meeting of bankers in London when and if you do return in the spring of this year. British Guiana today is news, not news of a derogatory nature, but news exciting and stimulating, a country on the brink of great developments, a country with a present and a future, a country which has made an excellent impression on the minds of all those who heard or read the Prime Minister of British Guiana in London.
It was plain to see that the Puerto Ricans are as anxious as we are that there should be the fullest cooperation between our countries. I will remember the words of one representative from the Chamber of Commerce who declared with all sincerity, "We are behind you now 100%. We discovered that the market could be found for many of Guyana's products. Rice is not the only product in which they showed interest. They were also interested in timber, plyboard, telegraph poles, shrimp, fish, plantains, and other foodstuffs. But this was not all. We were able to meet some Puerto Rican businessmen who are interested in establishing factories in Guyana. We should shortly be hearing more from a firm which wishes to manufacture shoes here and another which is interested in the manufacture of prefabricated wooden houses in this country." The Puerto Ricans also stated their willingness to reopen their scholarship program to admit Guyanese students to their universities, and this should be put into effect in time for the next academic year. Another indication of their interest and their friendship was their acceptance of an invitation by the Minister of Trade and Industry to send a trade mission to Guyana in the near future.
Welcome to Head of State
Conference in Guyana.
Welcome to Head of State
Conference in Guyana. Well, I heard the news, I nearly jumped out my shoes. When I heard the evening news, I nearly jumped out my shoes. Some people say that I'm going mad. I want to know well, it's glad I'm glad. What I'm saying is true, to see what a change government can do.
Welcome to Head of State
Conference in Guyana.
Welcome to Head of State
Conference in Guyana.
Big Dominica, Little Barbados, Little Trinidad and Guyana.
Welcome to Head of State
Conference in Guyana.
It is a source of happiness that the government of Barbados has been so generous and kind as to have yielded to British Guiana, to Georgetown, the right, the privilege, and the distinction to play host at this, the third conference of Caribbean heads of government. I take that as a happy augury of the closer cooperation which will and must exist between us in the Caribbean. I am happy that the other governments have thought fit to cooperate with Barbados in granting us this honor and privilege. But let me assure you, my brother West Indians, we did not grasp this opportunity to burden you with our problems. We did not grasp this opportunity to make complaints. We did not seek this undoubted honor to ask anyone to settle our problems. We asked you here because we felt that this will give some indication to the Caribbean and to the world that Guyana once again is reintegrated into the free society of the Caribbean. There seems to be a battle, a fruitless and futile battle, being waged in the world today against the normal and just aspirations of the people to run their own affairs and to rule themselves. We in Guyana, my government, shall see to it that the fruitlessness and futility of the struggle by those who would keep back independence becomes greater. But even as we move to independence, gentlemen, undoubtedly the need arises for us to think in broader and larger terms. Trinidad is independent. Jamaica is independent. No doubt, Barbados, in some relationship or another, or alone, along with Guyana, will soon be independent. But it is time for us to reflect upon the necessity for independent nations to get together into larger communities for the mutual benefits and advantages of the individual territories and units. And I think, and I'm led sincerely to believe, that it was as a result of this reflection that this or these conferences came into being. As I reflect, I think of the needless and wasteful competition between our respective economies. As I reflect and think, there comes to mind the necessity for us to present a Caribbean image in the world of international affairs. As I dream, perhaps, I see coming out of this conference and conferences like this a Caribbean entity which can translate perhaps to the Latin American world, perhaps to the Afro-Asian bloc, what we stand for, what we want, how our people feel, and what are our people's aspirations. It has been mooted on more than one occasion that the participants in conferences like this should well consider the necessity and advisability of having regional representation in foreign countries. As I see it, ladies and gentlemen, we have come here together today and for another 2 days not to emphasize our differences and our divergences, but to emphasize the common traditions, heritage, history, which we share, and the enlightened necessity that there is for us to be one team rather than a number of separate teams. And perhaps it is fortuitously fortunate that even today, representatives from our respective territories are playing together as one team, and all of us are looking forward to the victory of that one team.
I think the conference has been a great success in all respects, and although we haven't had perhaps complete decisions on every point, certainly we have been able to arrive at agreement. Those of us who have had experiences of previous conferences, I'm sure my colleagues who were there at the other conference will say that this one ran very smoothly, and the organization of yourself and the staff was most efficient. One of the things that has pleased Jamaica, and I hope all my colleagues, is, and I'm going to use a very pleasant word, the return to the fold of British Guiana to our community in the Caribbean. We had feared that the country was lost to us, and that the wonderful people of British Guiana might not have been able to sit with us and associate with us as they did in the past. Thank goodness this conference held here has indicated that that is not so. And we express the hope that that return will be permanent and that the conference will be of great benefit to British Guiana just as it has been to us individually. We've enjoyed this conference. I think that it has made us feel a little more closely drawn to one another as countries with common problems. And I feel that there is indeed a future for us in the field of regional cooperation, a future that at one time seemed a little bit dim. And I feel also that the people of British Guiana have shown in the last 3 days a degree of friendliness and warmth that few people anywhere in the world could equal, still less exceed. We look forward to accepting your very kind invitation to your independence celebrations, seeing you take your place as equal partners with all the rest of us in the community of nations. Next year, when the conference meets in Barbados, we shall hope to address our friend Errol Barrow as the Prime Minister of an independent Caribbean Commonwealth country. I want to thank you again, you and your people and your government, for having made us feel extremely comfortable and very happy while we've been here in British Guiana. The thanks and the gratitude of the people of Trinidad and Tobago will be with you.
There is not much that I can really add to the eloquent words which have been spoken by the Acting Prime Minister of Jamaica and the Deputy Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago. All I can do is to sum it up, and you will again forgive me if I use a rather ecclesiastical reference when I say, we love this place, oh God.
After the doldrums of the past 7 years, a new image of Guiana is being created, and we are now on the threshold of greater things. However, I must impress on everyone that our final success is still dependent upon our own efforts, our enthusiasm, our willingness to act and live as one people, confident of the future and forgetful of the upheavals of the past.